It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back live with more of the Parkins Playoff Show with your host, Danny Parkins, live on the Odyssey app and 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Thank you for hanging out. It is the Parkins Playoff Show. We'll take more calls as we go. We'll get predictions for the two games today. The other NFC North team, the Lions hosting the Bucks, and of course, the heavyweight matchup of the weekend, which is Bills and Chiefs. Joining me now on the hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa app today. My buddy, we hosted in Kansas City, where he still does afternoons on 610 Sports Radio. He also hosts nationally on Mad Dog Sports Radio. He has Patrick Mahomes on his Kansas City show once a week. No one more dialed into the Chiefs than Carrington Harrison, who's with us on the Score. What's up, C-Dot?
Parkins, how you doing today? Before you ask me about the playoffs, I just want to ask you one question. You just mentioned the Lions. They have Dan Campbell and Jared Goff as their coach and quarterback. We just watched the Packers with Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love. You're telling me the plan is going to be Matt Eberflus and Justin Fields again next season? All right, good luck.
I don't think it is. You don't need to troll. You don't need to troll,
Carrington. I was asking a question. I just wanted to know because, I mean, I know that Matt Eberflus is going to be part of the solution. I just didn't know what the plan was with the number one pick.
I think the plan with the number one overall pick is Caleb Williams. I'm pretty confident in that. And I don't love that Matt Eberflus is here. I think that is very, very, very questionable. But I trust Ryan Poles. And if you're drafting a rookie quarterback, you got a long runway. And I do think that LaFleur and Love is formidable. And obviously the Lions are very solid. But, hey, man, you know this better than anybody. You draft an excellent quarterback, it deodorizes a lot of things. Aaron Rodgers made Mike McCarthy a borderline Hall of Famer. Joe Burrow turned the Bungles into the Bengals. The Chiefs didn't win a single game with the quarterback they had drafted since Todd Blackledge before a guy named Patrick Mahomes came along. So if Caleb's that dude, it's not going to matter that Matt Eberflus is here.
No, you're right. I mean, and we just saw that, honestly, with the Houston Texans. I mean, Houston was the worst organization in the NFL for the last 3 years. You get C.J. Stroud, you get a good coach, and you get Will Anderson. And look, you can win a playoff game. And they were pretty competitive for the first 30 minutes of that game yesterday. It's funny you mentioned Patrick Mahomes. So you know Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. So he came on the show last week and said he started his playoff career at 1-10. 1-10. That's where he was before Patrick Mahomes. He now is at 500, which is crazy when you think about it, which is wild.
That is absolutely insane. Do you think that the fact that Mahomes has never played a road playoff game potentially leaves open the possibility that Patrick Mahomes cannot play well in a road playoff game?
I mean, I'm not worried about Patrick Mahomes. That's not really my concern. I'm worried about the others. I mean, I think you know what you have from the Chiefs, from Andy Reid. He's been in this situation before. I know Patrick Mahomes hasn't been in this situation, but what have we seen from Patrick Mahomes that would make me think that he's not going to play to his usual standard today? Travis Kelce, I would put Rashee Rice and Isaiah Pacheco in that category as well. There's obviously a couple of pieces on the defense. I think the Chiefs are going to need some kind of X factor today. Like, if you think of this Chiefs run, they've gotten plays from different people, whether it was Kadarius Toney in the Super Bowl or Mecole Hardman in a couple of playoff games or Daniel Sorensen. That's what I'm more worried about. You know that concept, like, in the NBA playoffs that, you know, your stars are going to translate, but your role players aren't going to play as well on the road in a series. That's what I'm worried about today. I'm not worried about Patrick Mahomes.
Who has the better defense in the game?
I think it's the Chiefs. I've been a believer of the Chiefs defense for the entire season. They just do a really good job of limiting teams under 21 points. Only one team has scored more than 21 points this season against the Chiefs. No team has scored 30 or more points against Kansas City's defense. And they do a really good job against number one wide receivers. I mean, they've gone up against just about everybody. Tyreek Hill a couple of times, Keenan Allen a couple of times, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown. None of those guys had 100 yards against them. So you're going up against a guy like Diggs, who actually hasn't played very well the last 6 to 8 weeks, and no one's really talking about it. I feel really good about Kansas City's ability to limit some of the things that Buffalo wants to do.
So who is more likely to retire after this season, Travis Kelce or Andy Reid?
That's a great question. I would say Travis Kelce is probably more likely to retire out of those two. I mean, the answer to me is neither. I don't think neither are going to retire. Travis Kelce has two more years left on his contract. I think he's going to play that out and then just not extend his deal, and just that's going to be the end of it. I also don't think that Andy Reid is retiring, too. I know that Florio has been really talking about this the last couple of weeks, but there just really hasn't been any indication that either of them are going to retire. I would say with Kelce, what I think is interesting, like I know the, hey, you want to retire with your brother. Jason Kelce is incredible. Don't get me wrong. He's just probably not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, you look at Dermonti Dawson, the great center for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It took him 3 times to get in. So if you're Kelce, you can still play 2 years, wait the 5 years, and you can probably still go in with your brother first ballot.
Yeah, tough to thread that needle, right? Tough to know exactly what the class is going to look like that and all of that. Just, I'm with you. I would expect both of them to be back. I think that part of the reason why Mahomes signed the crazy long contract that he did was because he had some assurances from Andy Reid that he was going to be here for the duration of it. And if Reid didn't take a year off when he left Philly after the personal tragedy in his life to take a step back, I can't imagine when he's been to 5 straight AFC Championship games, has a shot to just keep play calling and leading the best quarterback of all time, that he's going to step away. So I expect Andy Reid to be back. The thing with Kelce that I just can't really quantify is twofold. He doesn't look as good. He does look like he's slowing down. So is he interested? He didn't want to play the last week of the regular season to just get to 1,000 yards. Like, is he interested in being the 8th best tight end in the NFL or a decoy or, you know, like actually letting us watch his decline? And how interested is he being in, like, the next Fast and the Furious movie and hosting SNL again and making that transition to Hollywood life and celebrity? Like, he's got about as many options as any non-quarterback for his post-playing career of any player we've ever seen. If he's ready to stop the beating, go out relatively on top, and hang out with Taylor Swift and be a celebrity, I think that's a variable that none of us can predict.
No, 100%. I think all of that makes a lot of sense. I guess from a football perspective, I would counter with, I think next year is going to be easier for Travis Kelce. You and I both know that the Chiefs are going to spend money on resources next year on the offensive side of the ball. Like, you've got Rashee Rice. You've got Isaiah Pacheco. It's obvious for the first time that the Chiefs need to start planning for a post-Travis Kelce world. So they're going to spend more resources. Maybe they go get Michael Pittman Jr. Maybe they go get a one-year contract with Mike Evans next year. They probably spend another draft pick. So I think one of the problems with the Chiefs offense early on in the season is they were anticipating Travis Kelce not just being tight end one, but being wide receiver one. He's not that anymore. Can he still be a guy who has 70 catches for 950 yards and 4 touchdowns next season and is still really productive as a part of your offense? Absolutely. So I think next year, as Kansas City's offense grows and puts more weapons on him, you're not asking him to be the Travis Kelce of old anymore. You're just asking him to continue to be a productive player, which he obviously was this year.
So as we're talking to Carrington Harrison, he hosts The Drive on 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. We'll do some other NFL in just a second. It's a coin flip game, but who do you think's winning it?
I'm picking Kansas City for a couple of reasons. Number one, Kansas City had a couple of extra days rest. Kansas City played last Saturday. Buffalo played on Monday. I think that's really important at this time of the season. I also think that Kansas City is the healthier of the two teams. Look at that injury report for Buffalo. Look at the one for Kansas City. Drastically different at this point in the year. And I just, if it's going to be a coin flip game, I have to see Buffalo win this game against Kansas City. They just haven't. They haven't beaten Kansas City in a game that really matters. Now, I think we all agree. This is a 52-48% coin flip. I think you can make an argument for either team to win, but you and I talk about this all the time. Historically, if you're going to give me Patrick Mahomes in less than 3 points, that's just the right side to be on.
It is. I can't wait to watch the game. It's going to be absolutely spectacular. Baltimore was dominant, and they've been dominant this year. They've either been tied or had a lead at the two-minute mark of every single game this year. They very easily, Carrington at this point, could be 18-0. They destroyed the Niners. They destroyed the Texans. They're healthy. They're getting healthier. We're expecting Mark Andrews to be back for the next game. They have home field advantage. The AFC Championship game will be there. Do you think the Chiefs could beat Baltimore?
I think they could. I mean, I think Baltimore is the best team in the National Football League. I think it's a couple of things. As I was watching the game yesterday, like, we talk a lot about passing the ball, and obviously it is important. Man, Baltimore knows exactly what they are. They run the ball. That last touchdown for Lamar Jackson, they ran that play probably 4 times over the course of the game, and it worked every single time. The little rollout, and you got Ronnie Stanley as the lead blocker, and you let Lamar Jackson make his decision. Also, it is impressive how well they have either drafted or made moves on the defensive side. Like, there's just so many pieces that you know are going to work. Like, you got Jadeveon Clowney, Kyle Van Noy, Kyle Hamilton out of Notre Dame. They're like, everybody knew was going to be a good pro. That just made all the sense in the world to go to the Ravens. Like, they have drafted and developed really well. And I also think their offense is just much more diverse than it was. Like, Zay Flowers has a chance to be a star wide receiver in this league, and they just have far more pieces. And you're right, they get Mark Andrews back next year. You pair him with Likely and the other pass-catching options that you have. Baltimore, especially at home, this is their first time hosting the AFC Championship game since 1971. So you know it's going to be a raucous environment next weekend.
Yeah, man. They never get talked about as best home field advantages in sports. Houston had 8 penalties in the first half yesterday. Like, it was partly the cold, it was partly the rest and the health for Baltimore, and it was a big part of the crowd. Like, they made a huge impact on that game. What happened to San Francisco? I was convinced they were the best team in the NFL, and now I'm convinced that they're not.
Yeah, I'm really torn, honestly, because it was kind of like Brock Purdy shot like 4 for 20 in the first 3 quarters of the game. And then in the last quarter of the game, he like scored 12 unanswered. You're like, well, he came through when it really mattered. But he was so bad for most of the game. My biggest takeaway watching San Francisco is, like, if this is a quarterback league, and you think about it, they're going to have the quarterback disadvantage against any team they could play that's not Tampa Bay, right? Like, the only team you would say, all right, they got a better quarterback situation. Is that quarterback for San Francisco going to beat 2 more? Like, is he going to beat Jared Goff and Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson on the other side of the coin? Like, I left with way more questions about San Francisco than I left with answers last night.
Yeah, and like, but the thing is that we also know that he's capable of a 275-yard passing game with 3 touchdowns. So on any given day, partly because of him and partly because of Shanahan and partly because of what's around him, he could go out there and hang a big number. So I just, all of a sudden, they're a tough team to call when I thought that they were the surest team in the NFL 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, you're right. We know that about Brock Purdy in regular season games. I don't know if we know that in postseason games. Like, I know they won that game last year against Seattle in the first round, but he didn't play well against Dallas in that second game. That game was
19-12. He didn't play well against Seattle in that game. They had a few dropped picks in the first half of that game.
Yeah, and then he gets hurt in the Eagles game. He then played poorly yesterday, man. Playoff football is just a different beast. I mean, we all threw a lot of praise on C.J. Stroud, deservedly so, in a great rookie year. You could just see that it was drastically different playing Cleveland at home versus going on the road and now playing Baltimore. Same thing with the Texans. And again, the Texans put up a good fight for the first 30 minutes or so. It's interesting because, I mean, this entire time I have been, hey, if they're fully healthy, San Francisco was the best team in the league, the best team in the league. They basically rolled through everybody that wasn't Baltimore over the course of the season. But then one thing happens. Deebo Samuel goes out. You still got a lot of weapons, obviously. And Brock Purdy, he just never looked or felt comfortable in the pocket yesterday. Everything felt frantic. Everything was inaccurate. I was just surprised at how rattled and off he looked in the final, I guess, 25 minutes. And then that last drive, it was like, all right, let's go. And then we saw the Brock Purdy that almost won MVP this year.
Yeah, it was bizarre, to say the least. They clipped it on the internet and they showed it on Fox. Like, I've never seen a guy wiping his hand as he was dropping back to pass. You know, like, he just, the elements were very clearly in his head. And you mentioned Stroud. Like, I don't hold that as a knock against Stroud in the postseason yet, right? It's hard to get a big sample of the postseason. Not everyone is like Mahomes, who could play 15 playoff games before playing a road game. Like, Lamar was 1-3, could have gone to 1-4 with a loss yesterday. It was starting to get concerning. I don't really have doubt that Stroud can perform in a postseason atmosphere because he was a 10-point underdog to Baltimore and got the crap kicked out of him. You know what I mean? Like, I would need to see him play games that he's supposed to win and play poorly for me to be worried about Stroud. He had a historic playoff debut. Then he had a blowout loss in the game he was supposed to lose big. Like, Stroud not being able to perform in the postseason is not even on my radar yet.
Absolutely. I mean, I think yesterday just proved that there are levels to this. And there is a difference between, like, playoff contending teams and Super Bowl contending teams. Houston is a playoff contending team. They won their division, a weaker division, but they still won it. They then beat another team that none of us can think win the Super Bowl. And now, all right, you got to play a game against a team that has legitimate Super Bowl aspirations, that is as well rested as they've been. And we obviously saw what happened with Houston. And now Houston is going to now have to take, like, that next step. I'm not saying it's easy, but, you know, going from where Houston was to where they are now, a relatively hard step, but not the hardest step in the league. Now the hardest step is, how do we go from where Houston is to now where Kansas City is, to where Baltimore is, where San Francisco is? How do we get 10% better? And if we get 10% better, whether that's up front and protecting C.J. Stroud, whether it's solidifying the defense, that's how you actually win the Super Bowl.
So we're talking to Carrington Harrison. He does afternoons on 610 in Kansas City, hosts nationally for Mad Dog Sports Radio, interviews Patrick Mahomes once a week. Lions and Bucks, you said the only team that you would say that San Francisco definitively has the better quarterback of is Tampa and Baker. I get it, but I do think there would be a debate, man. Like, Baker this year, 4,000 passing yards, 28 touchdowns, 10 picks for a passer rating of 95. To me, he is this year's Geno Smith. Like, this offseason, I fully expect Tampa not to give him a $300 million, $200 million contract, but I think that they will make a multi-year, mid-eight-figure guaranteed commitment to Baker Mayfield as the starting quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, regardless of how today goes.
I agree. I was thinking this last week as I was watching Baker. It's funny because he will make one or two throws that make you understand why a team took him with the number one overall pick. Like, now we know that he was overdrafted, but, like, let's say now with the information we have about Baker Mayfield, he probably gets drafted 35 to 40. Like, he is a legitimate starting quarterback in the National Football League, and you're capable of winning with him. I'm really torn about Tampa Bay. On one side, last week they go out, they demolish the Philadelphia Eagles. The Lions are coming in with all this hype. Everybody's excited. Everybody's picking them to win. They're at home. So that's, like, one side of, like, the NFL is unpredictable. This would be, like, a big shock. And then I'm also thinking, we just saw this Tampa Bay team play 2 weeks ago, and they beat Carolina 9-0 in one of the worst games of the NFL season. Now they're going to go on the road and beat Detroit in this environment. So the Lions will probably win this game, but there is something about Baker, man. It's hard for me to get that image of. He is the same quarterback that at Oklahoma went on the road to Ohio State, grabbed the Oklahoma flag and planted it in the middle of the field. Like, that guy is going on the road today. I know he's not afraid of the environment, and Baker is just such a live wild card. You have no clue how he's going to play today.
All right, so last one for you. You love hypotheticals. If you were a Falcon fan, would you rather Jim Harbaugh or Bill Belichick be your coach?
I think you could argue that Jim Harbaugh is the best football coach in the world. Like, if you think about what he has done over the last 10 to 12 years, he got San Francisco to the Super Bowl. Michigan got kicked by Ohio State for five consecutive years. He then got them to the point where they beat Ohio State every year. He won the national championship with J.J. McCarthy, who will be Gardner Minshew in the NFL for the next 10 years of his life. And now he's going back. I mean, you remember what he did at Stanford? Like, Jim Harbaugh has been a world-class winner everywhere that he's been. He is the number one available coach in the entire coaching search. And yes, I would take him over anybody that's available.
And he's a former Bear who apparently loves the franchise and organization, and the Bears didn't even call him.
I mean, Danny, you are in Chicago. Why do you think the good things are going to happen to your teams while you're around? I don't know why you think that. Like, think about your history and track record. What would make you think that your organizations are going to have success, that you're going to be covering a winner? Why do you think this?
Dude, it's a crazy run that Chicago sports are on since I've been here. It's been real bad.
Of course.
It's been real, real bad. I know you're not surprised, and the audience is starting to blame me for it as well. It's very, very, very upsetting.
I just don't know how this comes as a shock to you. Like, you know you. Like, you're kind of that person, like, you know, somebody listening right now, they are married to the girl that's clumsy. You know, like, oh, you know, like, she always bumps her knee or always has a bruise, and you ask her where she comes from. She's like, I don't know. You don't know? You are 37 years old. You've been running into stuff now for 25 years. You know you're clumsy. Danny, you are a curse. You are a jinx. You know why bad things are happening. If you really love Chicago the way that I know you love Chicago, then you'll move. Move somewhere. You need to be doing radio in Topeka. You need to be doing radio somewhere in Boise, Idaho. Stay as far away from Chicago. If you want Caleb Williams to have success, you'll leave immediately. Tonight, you'll leave. You'll leave after this show. You'll move.
It's not nice what you're saying, because that's what my most loud haters say too. How do you got a job in Chicago? Get out of here. You're only good enough for Boise, Idaho. And the Cubs, they win the World Series when I'm still in Kansas City. And then I leave Kansas City and the Cubs start losing and they break up that team, and the Chiefs draft Patrick Mahomes and host the AFC Championship game 5 years in a row, when the Bears draft Mitch Trubisky and the only NFL playoff game I've covered, they lost when the field goal hit both uprights. I know, but it's not my fault. It's not causation. That's correlation. There's a difference.
Okay.
I will be here for a Bears Super Bowl with a franchise quarterback. I will be here for a Cubs World Series, and I might still be alive the next time the Bulls win a playoff series. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. All right, Dan. You know what? I'm praying for you, my brother.
Thank you.
I want you to be happy. I want you to have success. That's what I want for you. I don't think that any of those things are going to happen for you, but I'm certainly hopeful that they do.
Thank you. That is Carrington Harrison from The Drive in Kansas City, Mad Dog Sports Radio, at C.Harrison on Twitter. Enjoy the games.
Danny, I appreciate you, my man.
All right. That's Carrington Harrison. He is a friend, despite the last 3 minutes of what just happened. We will end the show with our picks. We can squeeze in a few more calls if we want. And just the stark difference between the AFC and the NFC. It's the Parkins Playoff Show on The Score.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits, or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
We got a Bob who wants to talk Brock Purdy. What up, Bob?
Hey, Danny. Good Sunday morning playoff football. You got to love it.
12 seconds later.
What are you talking about? Bob, do you have short-term memory loss? Dude, we were not talking about Joe Burrow.
How is that generational?
He took over the worst team in the NFL and had them in the AFC Championship game a year later, and then was in a Super Bowl after that.
He's not even the best quarterback in Cincinnati's history.
Bob, stop drinking. It's too early. Thank you for calling.
We're back live with more of the Parkins Playoff Show with your host, Danny Parkins, live on the Odyssey app and 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Yeah, that happened. We talked to Bob. We'll talk to Bob. But it was a good call. It was a passionate call. It was a little too much yelling and sports anger, probably, for this early on a Sunday morning. Thank you for hanging out on the Parkins Playoff Show. NFL Divisional Playoff Weekend is finally here. You can listen to every game free with the Odyssey app. Tune in today as the Lions host the Buccaneers, followed by Chiefs and Bills. Coverage begins at 1:30 right here on The Score. Take the NFL playoffs wherever you go with 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app. This coaching stuff is wild, man. Two interviews for Harbaugh, two interviews for Belichick in Atlanta. Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator of the Lions, four interviews this week before a game today. Ben Johnson, five interviews for head coaching jobs before a game this week. Would not make me terribly comfortable as a Lions fan. There's no great option because with how the NFL offseason schedule works, if you limited all interviews till after the postseason, A, teams would cheat. They would just cheat. And the coaches on teams who were eliminated would be interviewed earlier, even if it was silent. And then you would put coaches at a disadvantage for getting these jobs if you made them wait until their team was eliminated from the postseason. So there's not a great solution. I just know I wouldn't feel great about that as a Lions fan, frankly. That's just a tough spot to be in. So now we get to a spot where this is so wide open for the Bears if they get a great quarterback, man. It's not just a quarterback league, I know. You have to build the whole team, I know. But if you have a truly special quarterback like Mahomes, he's still playing this weekend even with a bunch of flaws around him. Stroud was playing this weekend with a bunch of flaws around him. And the NFC, best quarterbacks in the NFC, so what, it's Jalen Hurts, there's some questions. Dak, there's some questions. Goff, all right, he's good, but there's a ton around him. Jordan Love, there's just a path. There's a path to, if Caleb is as good as the experts say he is, that the Bears have the best quarterback in the NFC within like 2 years. There's a path there. There's no path in the AFC. It's just loaded with quarterback talent. I mean, think about it. It already was lopsided with Lamar and Burrow and Allen and Mahomes and Lawrence and Herbert. And at the time, we thought Deshaun Watson. It was already lopsided. And then it was like, all right, there's two quarterbacks that could go one, Bryce Young or CJ Stroud. One will go to an NFC team, one will go to an AFC team. And the best rookie quarterback season we ever seen goes to an AFC team. And Bryce Young goes to the NFC team. It's just a gauntlet in the AFC. Bears are in a very good spot if they get this thing right at quarterback. 312-644-6767. Brandon is on the Parkins Playoff Show. Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning, Parkins. Man, I just want to say I'm sorry you had to deal with that this early in the morning, man.
Oh, it's okay, buddy. I'm fine.
So, and congratulations on building your son's car, too.
Kind of, yep. Too. Thank you. Yep, four-year-old birthday party today before these games get going. He's had a good run. I mean, the kid got a motorized car. We were at Disney on Ice yesterday. Birthday party today. He's on a very good run. He's the luckiest four-year-old in the world.
Good times. Man, where do I even start? And I just am so disappointed in the Bears that they didn't get this coaching hire right. You know, you look in the playoffs, what do you see? All great coaches all in the playoffs right now. And, you know, nobody's really talking about how the Packers have a stable full wide receivers. I think that's what makes them great. You don't know where the ball's going next. And then with the play action and Jones running the ball, I mean, their offense looks really good. Another thing I wanted to say about Purdy is, I don't think he looks like a professional quarterback. You know what I mean? Rubbing his hands on his pants, like you were saying, and like how they played the Ravens, turning the ball over four times. That should have happened last night. Didn't happen.
But, yeah, Brandon. Thank you for the call, man. Listen, the Purdy thing, like, he's clearly better than I thought he was, but I think he's nowhere near as good as people make him out to be. And interceptable balls, he threw plenty of them. yesterday, and they just dropped him. So that part is crazy to me, that he seems to be very lucky with the other team not catching the ball that he throws to them. So that's number one. LaFleur is clearly a difference maker. It's clearly a difference maker. Like, that's just the only way to put it. He loses Nathaniel Hackett and Luke Getsy, and they don't take a step back, and these receivers are running wide open regularly. And the thing is, no one would have said it's a great wide receiver core. This is not a bunch of first-round picks, a bunch of all-pros, a bunch of guys who have been good in all different systems and all that. It's the youngest offense in the league. This is not a productive team in terms of like their pedigree and their history. Aaron Jones is awesome. He's a top five running back in football. But in terms of pass catchers, it's not there. And I agree that the offensive coordinator hire is significant. I'm hoping that even though they're limiting themselves in the talent pool because they can't interview guys who are good enough to get head coaching interviews, that Caleb is so special that it doesn't matter, and that he turns one of these guys into the next Bobby Slowick Jr. And Bobby Slowick now is getting head coaching interviews, and maybe he's truly great, or maybe he's being propped up by C.J. Stroud. Coaching matters a ton. It matters more in the NFL than any of the other leagues. I absolutely believe that, but it still is a player's league. Who's winning the Brady-Belichick breakup? It's Brady, because he's the better player, and players matter more than coaches. Jim on the South Side will squeeze you in. It's the Parkins Playoff Show. What up, Jim?
Morning, Dan. I appreciate the show today.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm 61 years old, same age as Dan McNeil, and I'm fascinating to watch this career of Jim Harbaugh. And now taking a step back, that the fact that there's nobody, you know for a fact, nobody reached out to him, and if so, how can this be where you would pass on possibly the best coach of all time and not even have coffee with him? Is there anything that's, am I off my rocker on this, or is that?
Well, listen, I don't think you're off your rocker. I don't think he's the best coach of all time. He's obviously a very, very good coach. Dave Wannstedt said they did not reach out to him in the Matt Eberflus hiring cycle, and he interviewed. Remember, he interviewed for a few jobs over the last couple of years. He interviewed with the Vikings. I think he interviewed with Carolina. Maybe it was Denver, but he's had a few interviews the last couple of years. He keeps flirting with the NFL. Bears didn't call him in the Eberflus cycle, and according to polls, didn't call him this time. I think it's the McCaskies not wanting the sideshow. I think it's the McCaskies not wanting to pay him $20 million a year. I think Kevin Warren and his relationship with them. I think polls genuinely likes Eberflus. I think there's a lot of reasons why they're not even calling on Jim Harbaugh. I don't like it, but I think that that is the reality of the situation. So we got two games today, Bucks and Lions, Chiefs and Bills. You hear them right here on The Score. My predictions on how I expect them to go coming up on the Parkins Playoff Show right here on The Score.
We're back live with more of the Parkins Playoff Show with your host, Danny Parkins, live on the Odyssey app and 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
All right, welcome back in. We will be wrapping up the Parkins Playoff Show and passing the baton to You Better You Bet with the fantastic Nick Kostos and Lockie Lockerson in just a little bit. We know half of the bracket at this point. We know that the one seeds have advanced. There has been spirited debate and discussion as its relevance to the Bears and what is good enough at quarterback so far today. But we can start turning our attention into straight preview of the games today. Tampa and Detroit, like everybody had preseason, and the heavyweight matchup that many people did have, Kansas City and Buffalo, even if maybe you had the game have it happening at Arrowhead instead of Buffalo. You know, Tampa and Detroit, I'm not surprised at the team that's hosting the game. I had Detroit winning the NFC before the season. I said before the opener that of Chiefs and Lions that Chiefs and Lions was going to be the Super Bowl this year. So my Super Bowl matchup preseason are two teams that are playing today. One, the Lions, a 6-point favorite, And Kansas City, of course, a 2.5 to 3, depending on where you're shopping, road underdog in a virtual toss-up game today. And I know that Bears fans, you know, were rooting against Jordan Love and the Packers last night. That's the easy one. The Lions, I don't know that you have a rooting interest in the game, but I think it's such a great story, and they're rivals by proximity, but not by success or big game or trauma, that I actually think it's pretty easy to root for Detroit. Like, I'm not expecting you to put on your blue and outwardly cheer in the game, but I would not expect many people to have a rooting interest against the Lions today. It is such a great crowd, such a great fan base, such a tortured fan base, such a likable coach, a redemptive story at quarterback, even if it's not the most galvanizing of personalities to get behind in Jared Goff. David Montgomery, consummate professional as a Bear. Aiden Hutchinson, obviously, easy to root for. So there's a lot there, and Baker has been more polarizing. Like, it's kind of weird that the most polarizing player, I would imagine, for the average sports fan, even in Chicago, more so than, wow, the Lions are a division rival, has been Baker Mayfield. Whether you didn't like the brashness, which I loved, or the cockiness, which I loved, or the overexposure of the commercials, which frankly, I mean, he's fantastic in those commercials. I know that there is a big split opinion of him out there. The thing is that I think this game is going to be high scoring. I think Detroit's defense will give up some to a more balanced attack now that Rashad White is running the ball with some volume for Tampa and Baker's on this little bit of a heater that he's on. And the Bucs receivers are obviously very, very good and playing in a fast track in a dome. I expect there to be a lot of points scored in this game, which means if there's a lot of points scored, obviously anybody can win. But the thing is, what I don't think is much of a risk is the Lions laying an egg. Because the idea has been, well, they won the division, they won a playoff game, they gave the fans what they wanted, and the season has already been a success, so there would be some sort of emotional letdown. I don't think Campbell will allow the Lions to have an emotional letdown, and I know the fans won't allow them to have an emotional letdown. Like, it strikes me as incredibly unrealistic that they could walk into that stadium with those get-in ticket prices, with what Mike Tirico described last week as he's done a few hundred NFL games. He had never seen a building so full so far before kickoff. Like, for the warm-ups, for everything, there's going to be so much energy in the building playing for the right to go to an NFC title game that I can't see the Lions laying an egg. And not that this should factor in for the players, but I do think it'll factor in a little bit for the fans. The Niners showed some serious vulnerability. And they showed it in the regular season at the end of the season against the Bengals, and obviously when they got blown out by the Ravens, and then they showed it last night when they should have lost that game to the Packers. Like, the Lions are flawed, no doubt, but they absolutely can go to the Super Bowl. They absolutely can. So I expect a pretty good performance from the Lions today. And ultimately, while I do think that Baker and the Bucks are a very live underdog, I've gone back and forth on this game more than any of the other three. I was very wrong about how lopsided I thought Niners and Packers was going to be, but ultimately did pick the correct winner in the game. I thought that Tampa was a live dog, but like sitting here on game day with what's in front of the Lions, they're the more talented team. I think the Lions are going to win. And then in Chiefs-Bills, I've said it a few times today on the show, but it is a straight-up heavyweight fight. It's kind of amazing. The three quarterbacks left in the AFC, number one overall pick, Baker Mayfield, but who's been on a bunch of teams, left for dead, no real investment in his future until what he proved this year. Jared Goff, number one overall pick, not on his original drafted team, a throw-in and on a trade, has a commitment now from his fan base, but a guy that nobody would consider, you know, a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, even if the production has absolutely been there each of the last 2 years. And then Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, who it's crazy how polarizing that guy has become in the discourse among NFL fans. But Brock Purdy, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, AFC, Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback we've ever seen. Josh Allen, one of the most physically gifted quarterbacks we've ever seen. Undeniably a top three quarterback, top four quarterback in the NFL. Lamar Jackson, about to win his second likely unanimous MVP and one seed. So you have three of the top five will be conservative if you want, you know, depending on where you put Burrow and maybe Herbert, maybe Hurts, whatever. I would say three of the top four quarterbacks in the NFL. In the AFC, I'd have it 1, 3, and 4, and I'd still give the respect to Burrow at 2. And in the NFC, you've got other polarizing guys. So it's going to make the AFC game feel like a heavyweight fight. Mahomes has never played a road game in the postseason. He's got 15 playoff games. He's only played home games and neutral field games. That's ridiculous. He covers over 80% of the time as an underdog. That's ridiculous. The Bills have beaten the Chiefs. They know they can beat the Chiefs. They beat the Chiefs this year. But the Chiefs can look at those games and say, well, you know, Kadarius Toney was offsides. You know, there's always something that they can point to, but they haven't beaten them in the playoffs. And in the playoffs, it's some of the most painful losses imaginable on Buffalo's side. As in Josh Allen driving down the field, scoring a touchdown, giving them the lead, and then Mahomes, Kelce, and Tyreek Hill getting the game-winning field goal with just 13 seconds left. So there is, while I would still give the slight nod to who the Chiefs' biggest rival has been through this five-year stretch of their dynastic run, to the Bengals, because they met in back-to-back AFC Championship games, and the Bengals have won at Arrowhead multiple times, including in an AFC Championship game. Like, the Bengals have won at Arrowhead in the playoffs, and they've made a Super Bowl. The Bills cannot claim either of those things. So I think the Bengals are a bigger rival for Kansas City, but Buffalo's very, very close. And neither of them, since they have rings on their finger, can rise up to it. Like, I made the analogy during the week. If the Chiefs are Tiger Woods, the Bengals are Phil Mickelson, and the Bills are, you know, Vijay Singh or Ernie Els. Like, they're good. They were there. We tried to make it a thing, but it ultimately, you know, fell short of being a true challenge and a true rivalry. So if they win today, though, and they go on and they make a Super Bowl and they make it and put a ring on their finger, they can have a serious claim to that title. And there's going to be a feeling in Buffalo, if we can't beat this Chiefs team with these set of circumstances, it'll never happen. And I don't know that it'll never happen. That'll just be the feeling. But I don't think it happens today. I've got more faith that Allen will turn the ball over than Mahomes will. And I've got a little bit more faith, even though both are impressive, more injuries on Buffalo's defense than the Chiefs' defense. So I'm taking the Chiefs as an underdog in Buffalo, and I'm taking the Lions in a high-scoring game at home against Tampa Bay. So, enjoy the playoffs. I hope your bets cover. I've got a 4-year-old birthday party to attend, my own, and then I will be settling in to watch these games. Of course, we'll be back with you tomorrow on the Parkins and Spiegel Show. Looking forward to working with Gabe Ramirez on Tuesday and Wednesday. We've never hosted together, and then Ann Heron in for Spiegel on Thursday and Friday. Thank you to Carrington Harrison for joining us earlier in the day. Robbie Triano, fantastic job again as the producer of the Parkins Playoff Show. You Better You Bet follows us to get you in-depth on all of the wagering for the divisional round of the NFL playoff. Thanks for hanging out. I'm Danny Parkins. The Parkins Playoff Show on The Score. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We're back live with more of the Parkins Playoff Show with your host, Danny Parkins, live on the Odyssey app and 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
All right, welcome back in. We will be wrapping up the Parkins Playoff Show and passing the baton to You Better You Bet with the fantastic Nick Kostos and Lockie Lockerson in just a little bit. We know half of the bracket at this point. We know that the one seeds have advanced. There has been spirited debate and discussion as its relevance to the Bears and what is good enough at quarterback so far today. But we can start turning our attention into straight preview of the games today. Tampa and Detroit, like everybody had preseason, and the heavyweight matchup that many people did have, Kansas City and Buffalo, even if maybe you had the game have it happening at Arrowhead instead of Buffalo. You know, Tampa and Detroit, I'm not surprised at the team that's hosting the game. I had Detroit winning the NFC before the season. I said before the opener that of Chiefs and Lions that Chiefs and Lions was going to be the Super Bowl this year. So my Super Bowl matchup preseason are two teams that are playing today. One, the Lions, a 6-point favorite, and Kansas City, of course, a 2.5 to 3, depending on where you're shopping. Road underdog in a virtual toss-up game today. And I know that Bears fans, you know, were rooting against Jordan Love and the Packers last night. That's the easy one. The Lions, I don't know that you have a rooting interest in the game, but I think it's such a great story, and they're rivals by proximity, but not by success or big game or trauma, that I actually think it's pretty easy to root for Detroit. Like, I'm not expecting you to put on your blue and outwardly cheer in the game, but I would not expect many people to have a rooting interest against the Lions today. It is such a great crowd, such a great fan base, such a tortured fan base, such a likable coach, a redemptive story at quarterback, even if it's not the most galvanizing of personalities to get behind in Jared Goff. David Montgomery, consummate professional as a Bear. Aiden Hutchinson, obviously, easy to root for. So there's a lot there, and Baker has been more polarizing. Like, it's kind of weird that the most polarizing player, I would imagine, for the average sports fan, even in Chicago, more so than, wow, the Lions are a division rival, has been Baker Mayfield. Whether you didn't like the brashness, which I loved, or the cockiness, which I loved, or the overexposure of the commercials, which frankly, I mean, he's fantastic in those commercials. I know that there is a big split opinion of him out there. The thing is that I think this game is going to be high scoring. I think Detroit's defense will give up some to a more balanced attack now that Rashad White is running the ball with some volume for Tampa and Baker's on this little bit of a heater that he's on. And the Bucs receivers are obviously very, very good and playing in a fast track in a dome. I expect there to be a lot of points scored in this game, which means if there's a lot of points scored, obviously anybody can win. But the thing is, what I don't think is much of a risk is the Lions laying an egg. Because the idea has been, well, they won the division, they won a playoff game, they gave the fans what they wanted, and the season has already been a success, so there would be some sort of emotional letdown. I don't think Campbell will allow the Lions to have an emotional letdown, and I know the fans won't allow them to have an emotional letdown. Like, it strikes me as incredibly unrealistic that they could walk into that stadium with those get-in ticket prices, with what Mike Tirico described last week as he's done a few hundred NFL games, he had never seen a building so full so far before kickoff. Like, for the warm-ups, for everything, they're just going to be there's going to be so much energy in the building playing for the right to go to an NFC title game that I can't see the Lions laying an egg. And not that this should factor in for the players, but I do think it'll factor in a little bit for the fans. The Niners showed some serious vulnerability. And they showed it in the regular season at the end of the season against the Bengals, and obviously when they got blown out by the Ravens, and then they showed it last night when they should have lost that game to the Packers. Like, the Lions are flawed, no doubt, but they absolutely can go to the Super Bowl. They absolutely can. So I expect a pretty good performance from the Lions today. And ultimately, while I do think that Baker and the Bucks are a very live underdog, I've gone back and forth on this game more than any of the other three. I was very wrong about how lopsided I thought Niners and Packers was going to be, but ultimately did pick the correct winner in the game. I thought that Tampa was a live dog, but like sitting here on game day with what's in front of the Lions, they're the more talented team. I think the Lions are going to win. And then in Chiefs-Bills, I've said it a few times today on the show, but it is a straight-up heavyweight fight. It's kind of amazing. The three quarterbacks left in the AFC, number one overall pick, Baker Mayfield, but who's been on a bunch of teams, left for dead, no real investment in his future until what he proved this year. Jared Goff, number one overall pick, not on his original drafted team, a throw-in and on a trade, has a commitment now from his fan base, but a guy that nobody would consider, you know, a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, even if the production has absolutely been there each of the last 2 years. And then Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, who it's crazy how polarizing that guy has become in the discourse among NFL fans. But Brock Purdy, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, AFC, Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback we've ever seen. Josh Allen, one of the most physically gifted quarterbacks we've ever seen. Undeniably a top three quarterback, top four quarterback in the NFL. Lamar Jackson, about to win his second likely unanimous MVP and one seed. So you have three of the top five will be conservative if you want, you know, depending on where you put Burrow and maybe Herbert, maybe Hurts, whatever. I would say three of the top four quarterbacks in the NFL in the AFC. I'd have it 1, 3, and 4, and I'd still give the respect to Burrow at two. And in the NFC, you've got other polarizing guys. So it's going to make the AFC game feel like a heavyweight fight. Mahomes has never played a road game in the postseason. He's got 15 playoff games. He's only played home games and neutral field games. That's ridiculous. He covers over 80% of the time as an underdog. That's ridiculous. The Bills have beaten the Chiefs. They know they can beat the Chiefs. They beat the Chiefs this year. But the Chiefs can look at those games and say, well, you know, Kadarius Toney was offsides. You know, there's always something that they can point to, but they haven't beaten them in the playoffs. And in the playoffs, it's some of the most painful losses imaginable on Buffalo's side. As in Josh Allen driving down the field, scoring a touchdown, giving them the lead, and then Mahomes, Kelce, and Tyreek Hill getting the game-winning field goal with just 13 seconds left. So there is, while I would still give the slight nod to who the Chiefs' biggest rival has been through this five-year stretch of their dynastic run to the Bengals, because they met in back-to-back AFC Championship games, and the Bengals have won at Arrowhead multiple times, including in an AFC Championship game. Like, the Bengals have won at Arrowhead in the playoffs, and they've made a Super Bowl. The Bills cannot claim either of those things. So I think the Bengals are a bigger rival for Kansas City. But Buffalo's very, very close. And neither of them, since they have rings on their finger, can rise up to it. Like, I made the analogy during the week. If the Chiefs are Tiger Woods, the Bengals are Phil Mickelson, and the Bills are, you know, Vijay Singh or Ernie Els. Like, they're good. They were there. We tried to make it a thing, but it ultimately you know, fell short of being a true challenge and a true rivalry. So if they win today, though, and they go on and they make a Super Bowl and they make it and put a ring on their finger, they can have a serious claim to that title. And there's going to be a feeling in Buffalo, if we can't beat this Chiefs team with these set of circumstances, it'll never happen. And I don't know that it'll never happen. That'll just be the feeling. But I don't think it happens today. I've got more faith that Allen will turn the ball over than Mahomes will. And I've got a little bit more faith, even though both are impressive, more injuries on Buffalo's defense than the Chiefs' defense. So I'm taking the Chiefs as an underdog in Buffalo, and I'm taking the Lions in a high-scoring game at home against Tampa Bay. So enjoy the playoffs. I hope your bets cover. I've got a 4-year-old birthday party to attend, my own, and then I will be settling in to watch these games. Of course, we'll be back with you tomorrow on the Parkins and Spiegel Show. Looking forward to working with Gabe Ramirez on Tuesday and Wednesday. We've never hosted together. And then Ann Heron in for Spiegel on Thursday and Friday. Thank you to Carrington Harrison for joining us earlier in the day. Robbie Triano, fantastic job again as the producer of the Parkins Playoff Show. You Better You Bet follows us to get you in-depth on all of the wagering for the divisional round of the NFL playoff. Thanks for hanging out. I'm Danny Parkins. This is the Parkins Playoff Show on The Score.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.